Have you ever heard the statement, "It's always darkest before the dawn"? The idea that before things become as bright as we'd hope they would be, it seems like it's very dark. I want to light these candles behind me here for a second, and I want to talk about them. I was thinking about this as I was sitting over and worshiping this morning. How these candles, the candle of peace, promises that this coming one who is coming will bring peace to our world. And I mean hope to our world, and then peace to our world. And then it's interesting, isn't it? I remember growing up wondering, why in the world is this one candle so very different? Why is this candle a different color? It's the joy candle. It's the candle that reminds us that the one who's coming is coming, and he brings joy. But I guess in my mind, it's, well, why wasn't that the last candle? Because, I mean, isn't that when the joy comes? When, you know, when the baby's born? When the, you know, when things finally happen? But you see, there's something unique about this story, and you read about it just a moment ago around these tables. There's a sense in which all of this joyful anticipation is kind of brought crashing down with the reality of how it's going to take place. I mean, I want you to put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Joseph is this righteous Jew. He is a man in the lineage of King David. His father, Jacob, is in the lineage of King David. They are good people. And they're living the right way, and they're doing things the right way. And in the course of time, Jacob meets with the father of Mary and arranges this wedding, this marriage, that is more than just the wedding of two individuals. It is the bringing together of two families, both who were from the line of David. And my guess is there was this great sense of anticipation, because this was everything that they could have hoped for and dreamed for. It was everything that anybody would ever want for their child. It was the very best of the very best that they could dream. Until this. I don't know how long they had been betrothed. One thing that you need to understand, betrothal in that culture is very different from our idea of engagement. Betrothal was a contract in many respects. It was too late to undo. It was many times a dowry would be exchanged, so it was cemented. It was impossible to undo. And so they were betrothed. They were promised to one another. Joseph was probably preparing a place to bring Mary to, using his carpentry skills to make their home, to make their bed, to make their table. And into all of this, what does he hear? He hears this news that this lady who is going to be his wife, that she's pregnant. She's pregnant. And in his mind, everything that he dreamed, all of his hopes, everything that he had planned for, it's like it's laying at his feet, and it's shattered, it's gone. And he's wondering, what in the world am I going to do? My life is over as I knew it. I had all these great plans. I had this hope of being a respected part of this community, and suddenly, that's not going to happen. Is there, probably alone in his thoughts. And remember, he is a righteous man. He is one who lives by the law. And yet he loved this woman. You say, well, how do you know he loved this woman? They weren't married. It was a arranged thing. How do we know? Well, we know because of what he did. You know what the law required? It required that the one who was betrothed and was found to be with child should be stoned to death along with the father of that child. Very often what would happen is the man who had been sinned against, which would be Joseph in this case, would go to the city gate and would present a paper to the elders in front of the town, in a sense, and say, you know, I divorce her, I release her from this vow. And then they would take her out and stone her. But we read in this passage, and you read it just a moment ago, that Joseph didn't want to publicly humiliate her. He didn't want to destroy her life any more than she already had destroyed her life. Because her life was over. She would never be looked at in the same way. Every time she'd walk into a store or a place, people would quit talking and then begin talking. You know what I'm talking about. Her life was over. But he didn't want to add to that. And he probably thought, well, maybe this man who did this to her, maybe they really love each other. Maybe there's a chance that this child can have a hope. And so we read that he decided that he was going to privately release her. The word that's used in the NIV, it says divorced. In some other versions it says, because the actual word is to loose, that Joseph loosed her from this obligation that was hers. In a sense, he released her. I like the language there because I think it speaks to me of the love that Joseph had for Mary, even as he was despondent and wondering what in the world was going to happen. I remember when I was in seminary, I had a roommate. A year before I met him, he was engaged to be married. And the week of his wedding, his bride ran off with the best man. And he was still, even a year later, he was hurting. And no wonder, right? I mean, that's kicking the gut stuff. I mean, it's just awful. And that's probably what Joseph felt like. All these plans. He'd been building this home for his bride, this wonderful lady named Mary, and now she'd gone and done this, and it's like, how could you? Everything, all the hopes and dreams that we could have ever had are gone. They're shattered. They're over. And so he decides, like I said, that he's going to dismiss her. He's going to release her. He's going to divorce her. But he goes to bed that night, not having told her yet, probably because he's finally made the decision and he's exhausted. You know how that kind of stuff wears you out, don't you? Emotionally, you're just a mess, you're drained. And so he probably collapses on his bed, and as he goes to sleep, he has this incredible, I don't know if I call it incredible, just absolutely outstanding dream. I mean, it's just wild. In this dream, this angel comes to him and suggests to him, well, actually, he commands him. He says, you need to take Mary as your wife. Now, can you imagine? This is not a dream that Joseph would have dreamed. I hope you understand that. If Joseph would have dreamed a dream, it would have been to wake up and realize it was all a nightmare and it was all over and everything was back to normal and everything was right and, oh, she's not pregnant. She's fine. But that's not the dream he dreamed. The dream he dreamed was of this angel coming to him and say, you need to take Mary as your wife. Think about what that would do. In a sense, it would confirm some of the suspicions of all the people that were wondering who had done this. Well, yeah, obviously we know who it was. He's feeling a little guilty, and so he's stepping up to the plate. But he goes on. The angel doesn't stop there, because it says, the angel says, and you are to give him, you are to name him, you are to give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, we kind of focus on that phrase because it's an awesome phrase, because this Jesus who is coming has come to save us from our sins. But the thought I want us to ponder just for a moment is what the angel said to Joseph first. He said, I want you to name this child Jesus. In other words, what Joseph is being called to do by the angel is to take this child as his own. By naming a child, you were saying, this child is mine, in that culture. When a child was given a name, they became a part of your lineage, regardless of whether they were biologically your child or not. And so this angel was saying, I want you to admit that this is your child, to welcome this child into your arms, to include this child as a part of your family. Now, can you imagine that? Here comes Jesus, and Joseph says, and I call him, what are you going to name this child? Are you going to name this child, or are you just going to say, this is not my child, I will not name it? No, he says, no, this child is Jesus. And suddenly everybody's going, well, he's the son of Joseph. And never again for the rest of their lives, as they would walk the streets together, as they would sit in their home and look out their windows, never again would people look at them, Mary and Joseph, in the same way. There would always be this kind of disdain, this look down the nose of Joseph and what he'd done, of Mary, of what she'd allowed. It was terrible. I can't believe he did it. I can't believe that they're such good stock. I mean, they're both. I mean, look at their families. Look what they've... And the disgrace would not only be theirs, it would be the families as well. And so there he is sleeping, dreaming this dream. I don't know about you, but my guess is in his mind, somewhere in that place between sleep and awake, you know, when you're starting to wake up and the dream is really alive in your mind and you're almost fighting it, I can see him going, whoa, wait a minute, this is not the way it's supposed to go. This is not what I'm supposed to do. But he wakes up, doesn't he? He wakes up, and this is what it reads in the scripture that we read a few moments ago. It said, when Jesus woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. I don't know about you, but that is crazy. I mean, remember, this. You do remember what this means. He will never be looked at in the same way. His family will be shamed. He will be shamed. The future that he dreamed of will be gone, if it's not gone already. But instead of rolling over or pulling the sheets over his face and going back to sleep, Joseph wakes up. And he doesn't just wake up, he gets up and he does what God, through the angel, had commanded him to do. And the reality is nobody would have understood. Nobody would have got it. Nobody would have approved. Nobody would have said, well, what a noble thing to do. Everybody would have looked down on him and said, how can you do this to your family? You need to distance yourself as far from this woman as you can. She's brought shame to you and to herself, to her family and your family. And I find myself, as I sit here, as I think about all of this, wondering, what about us? Have we embraced all that Christmas is about? Have we embraced His coming to us in the same way that Joseph embraced the coming of Christ? I mean, He comes as Savior, right? He comes as Lord. He comes as one who is on the journey with us. For what does it say? He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Maybe you're looking at what Joseph embraced and you're thinking about what it would mean for you, and you're going, if it means anything like that, I'm not sure I want it. I mean, look at how hard it was. This was not easy. It was no picnic. I mean, nobody would understand. Nobody would get it. Parents, family, neighbors, friends would all look with disdain on this man. And the other thing, didn't it change the course of his entire life? I mean, when he got out of bed that morning, instead of rolling over and going back to sleep, didn't it change his life? I mean, his life was never going to be the same again, because he was embracing this dream. He was living this dream that God had given him. And I wonder, again, do we embrace what God longs to do in our lives? Or do we run from it? Do we roll over and go back to sleep? Because his coming changes everything. Now, it may be hard. It may not be easy, because the reality is his coming requires us to do things that maybe we don't really long to embrace. I mean, I don't think Joseph woke up and went, oh, goody, I can't wait to go tell the family. I'm going to take her as my wife. You're going to what? Remember, in that culture, this was not the thing to do. This was the last thing that you'd do. It may not make sense to anyone else. But I think one of the calls of this scripture this morning is for us to embrace the dream. It requires obedience. Some ways, blind obedience. I mean, Joseph had no idea what this journey was going to entail, what it was going to look like. You know what? It's time. Time to what? Well, just watch this video.
Clock, Bob. Time to wake up. Come on, let's go. Come on, Bob. Get up. Bob. Come on, Bob. Bob, rise and shine. Come on. Bob. Come on, Bob. Get up. Bob. 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 Get up. Come on. Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine. Rise and shine. And go get the car right now. Come on, Bob. Come on. Bob. Bob. Bob! Bob! Hop-a-doodle-doo! Bob! Bob!
Oh! Hi.
It is time to wake up. That means we gotta turn the light on. That means, for those of you who have come wearing pajamas, it's time to change. That's right. Not right now. Okay. But later. You know, we are in this time of Advent where we are looking and just trying to embrace more the coming of Christ. And the fact for us is that Christ has come. That He's come for us. We're looking forward to that. We're building up to that. And as we come together in this next week, we will celebrate that even more. But we are embracing all of Christ's coming. Could you imagine what that would look like in your life? That you would embrace all of Christ's presence? Kind of a big thought. with Joseph, God invaded his dream. He invaded his dream. With Joseph, God came in his dream and invited him. And in fact, in the larger picture, it wasn't Joseph's dream at all, but it was God's dream. And God has come to us. He invades our dreams. And he invites us and kind of places his dreams within us as his people. You know, we dream about a lot of stuff, don't we? If we had more time, I could share with you some really interesting dreams that I've had. But even in life, we have a lot of dreams in life. In this last year, I have felt really old. And like, I know some of you guys are like, what are you talking about? I know. But like, it seems more things break. In the last 3 years, it's been many things. And I'm just feeling so really out of shape. And so some of you, if you've been hanging out with me some, you might have heard me start talking about P90X. You know, you stay up late watching the infomercials, you see P90X, and you guys know what I'm talking about? You're like hitting him. Has he been talking about it too? All right, yes. Okay, so get this. P90X is this workout that you do, and you're supposed to like be really in shape and feel younger again or something, I don't know. But it's going to be good. Your old body back? No. Thank you, wife. Just stop talking. It's okay. It's all right. It's all right. But you see, I have these dreams and I've been talking about this for how long? You know, for like quite a while. I've been talking about this. And my guess is that if you guys are anything like me, there's things in your life that you've been talking about. That you've been like, I'm going to do this. I've got this that I'm going to do. It's going to be great when I do it. And you talk about it, and maybe like even talking about it, you begin to feel better. I tell you, talking about P90X and that I'm going to do it, I feel like I've accomplished something already. But I haven't. I haven't. In fact, what is missing in my life is something very important. It's the follow-through. And when it comes to our faith, when it comes to Christ's presence within our lives, so often I think we're a lot like me and P90X. It's a good thought. We think Christ has come in my life, and that means this, this, and this. Yeah. But it's just a thought. And maybe in thinking about it, we feel really good. But, man, it's been like 6 months that I've been talking about P90X. And I'm not feeling that good anymore. Yeah. And that's it. It's time to wake up. It's time to make, for me, my P90X, for us, the presence of Christ more than just some dream thing. More than just this wondering of, was it something that I ate? It's time for us to do something. You gotta stop hitting the snooze. And you gotta acknowledge something about yourself. You gotta acknowledge that you've been dreaming. We gotta maybe take a note from Joseph. I wrote it down. When Joseph woke up, he did what the Lord commanded him. And that's when he changed. And that's when those dreams became a reality. Don't walk away this morning thinking about P90X. Thinking about like all the things that you've been talking about in your lives that you need a New Year's resolution. Walk away from here this morning having confronted those dreams that we have about our faith. About who we say we want to be. About who when God comes into our lives, He gives us this vision of who we're supposed to be, who He is calling us to be. Walk away with that vision. Not just a dream, but something that you begin to live like Joseph in blind faith. living out the dream that God has for you. Big things. Things that cannot be accomplished on my own, on your own. But yet another example of how God has come alongside us. He has come to you. And if He's calling you to be somebody, to embrace His dream, you better believe that our God is serious about walking beside you and enabling you to live that dream. Let me pray, and then we'll have our band come up, and we'll continue in our worship this morning. Heavenly Father, God, we just present ourselves to You this morning with all of our faults, with all of the things that we have not followed through with. God, and it's nice that we can think about ourselves in such a way, God, and that You call people like us. And when You call people like us, it's not just some lofty dream in Your mind, but it is something that can become a reality. If we would have the courage, God, and the faith in You, that You will bring those dreams, Your dreams, about in our lives. Would You help us this morning, Lord? We confess, we can't do it without You. We need You. Help us. Amen.